This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague and friend Bill Raggio, Senior Fellow, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. He keeps the Long War Journal. I highly recommend to follow all the moving battlefields. Right now, we're privileged to have John Hardy of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies watching the Ukraine battlefield and all of Europe, if to understand the news of these last weeks. John, a very good evening to you. I come to the reports that are routinely coming from Europe now, but most focused on today, German officials talking about UAVs, unidentified drones over airports. Munich is mentioned. I believe Berlin is mentioned. This follows reporting from Denmark. It follows reporting from, I believe, Latvia or Estonia. These are not warplanes. These are drones. They're not identified. But the Prime Minister of Denmark last week, Frederiksen, said there's only one suspect in her mind, and that's pointing east to Russia. The emergency meeting last Thursday in Copenhagen, called by the Prime Minister of Denmark, brought together the major authorities of Europe. Mr. Merz of Germany, Mr. Macron of France, Mr. Sanchez of Spain, Ms. Meloni of Italy, Mr. Starmer of Great Britain. Estonia was represented, so was Finland, so was Poland. All the players gathered together what is to be done, and they came up with something days earlier that they endorsed called the drone wall. What can you tell us about a drone wall? Is it practical? Is it utopian? Where is this? Good evening to you, John.
Hey, John. Hey, Bill. Thanks for having me back on the show. I'd say that in general, NATO, including countries in Europe, has been too slow to kind of adapt based on lessons learned in Ukraine regarding the number of drones that will have to be combated in a future war and possibly, you know, below the threshold of war as we're seeing now, and kind of the cost-effective ways of shooting them down or otherwise neutralizing them. So if we go back to the incident a few weeks ago with Russian Gerbera decoy drones flying into Poland, you know, they were shot down by aircraft firing what seemed to be pretty expensive air-to-air missiles. I think that's not really an economical way to go about it. Ukraine has pioneered a number of different ways to shoot down these drones. For example, like mobile fire groups, guys on trucks with machine guns, night vision devices, etc. Drones not designed to intercept other drones. And it's something that Ukraine is currently scaling up across its force to combat the Shahed type UAVs. So I think in general, that's something that I hope Europe will fix. And I think, you know, since that incident in Poland, we have seen decision makers kind of allude to that fact, and now they seem to be, you know, starting to put funding behind it. So I think that's a good sign, and hopefully it'll actually be implemented.
Bill, you have a question for our colleague.
Hello, John. It's been 3+ years since Russia launched its war, and drone technology and the use of drones on the battlefield has advanced significantly. I realize you track Russia and Ukraine, but in the Western world, do you believe that we are ahead of the curve, we're even or behind the curve when it comes to drone technology and the air defense systems, such as the drone wall?
So when we say drones, that's kind of a really broad category that comprises a really vast number of different types. It's a broad spectrum. So it goes from everything from like a tiny quadcopter that can be, you know, can fit in the palm of your hand, to a really expensive high-end system that's, you know, like the size of a fighter jet. And you can operate autonomously or, you know, in cooperation with a manned fighter aircraft. So this is a really broad category. And, you know, in certain areas, the Russians are really far behind. I mean, they kind of delayed for decades in, you know, going the way that the U.S. did in development of remotely piloted aircraft. You know, they are working on unmanned systems that can do man-to-man teaming. I think the areas where the Russians and the Ukrainians, you know, have been innovative, especially Ukrainians, with the Russians typically copying what the Ukrainians do and perhaps scaling it up better, is in kind of the tactical side with small UAS, like FPV drones, for example, and then also the counter UAS systems to deal with those. I think, Ukraine, started with this, with, setting up those mobile fire groups, then the anti-aircraft FPVs that I mentioned. I think the Russians have taken pages from Ukraine's book in dealing with what is an increasingly, high-paced, high-volume, long-range, one-way attack UAV threat from Ukraine. So in certain categories, bottom line is, in certain categories, I think the Ukrainians and Russians are ahead. And a lot of it is really not very sophisticated technology in those areas where they kind of have an edge. It's taking kind of basic technologies, in many cases commercial off the shelf, and kind of scaling them or developing TDPs and organizational structures to exploit them. So it's all things that we can replicate, but it just takes concerted effort and money to do so.
John, you're very well informed about how Ukraine is conducting this war on the battlefield. I puzzle, though, watching the news change. This would appear no longer to be a battlefield contained just in eastern Ukraine. It would appear that it's a three or even four-dimensional battlefield, including the drones against the frontiers of the NATO nations. In addition, there's low Earth orbit. Boris Pistorius, you know him very well. He's the well-spoken and well-regarded defense minister of the German Republic, has said that they have reason to believe that the Russians or some bad actor has been tracking their intelligence and communication satellites in low Earth orbit. This alarmed other members of the EU and NATO, France and the US, about anti-satellite weapons. Do I regard this as a separate silo? How is the thinking in Europe now? Because it appears that it's the same source of bad actors driving this in many different directions and not staying just on the battlefield of Ukraine.
Well, I'd quickly add that after the German defense minister made those comments, the head of UK Space Command said something similar, basically that Russian satellites are stalking UK military satellites, and those military satellites from the Brits are subjected to pretty frequent jamming from ground-based systems. So, I think this is something that has kind of upticked since the full-scale invasion began in 2022. And I think you could view it in kind of the same lens as the Russian kind of gray zone plots in Europe, things like sabotage, the recent drone incursion in Poland, kind of different avenues in which the Russians are testing our response, are trying to kind of undermine Western will to confront Russia. I think the really good news is that despite all that, it's really failed to deter Western countries from supporting Ukraine. So I think that's the really good news. In many cases, I think Russia kind of shoots itself in the foot by solidifying Western resolve and kind of cohering what is otherwise a pretty fractious coalition of countries.
Bill, you have a comment or a question for John?
John, yesterday, Russia launched a series of a barrage, really, of more than 500 drones and over 50 missiles against numerous targets throughout Ukraine. What was the target of this barrage, and how effective were the strikes?
So in general, Russia over the summer has been targeting, has been conducting like pretty regular drone and missile barrages. Many of those barrages throughout the summer targeted Ukrainian military industrial sites and some others, energy, military sites, etc. More recently, it seems that in addition to still some of those kind of military industrial sites, the Russians have shifted back toward targeting energy. The barrage you alluded to just the other day A Ukrainian energy official called it like the biggest barrage targeting Ukrainian energy infrastructure since the full-scale war began, which I think based on the number of energy sites attacked. So I think that, you know, it's pretty predictable for Russia as the weather cools and, you know, heating becomes more important for Ukrainian civilians, that, you know, the Russians are going back to targeting energy, which of course they've done at different periods in the war, mainly during the heating season, the colder months. So far, the Russians have not succeeded in kind of achieving strategic effects in terms of Ukrainian will to fight with those campaigns. And I don't think they will here, but, you know, Ukrainians will be in store for another tough winter.
Bill Raggio and I are speaking with our colleague John Hardy of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies about the war, as I now say, not in Ukraine, in Europe and in low Earth orbit. When we come back, the new conversation includes Tomahawk missiles. What about them?
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.